Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You are listening to the West Ham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio by We Are West Ham, James Jones, Will Pugh. Delighted to say, James looks absolutely fantastic. He's just got back off a little trip. Glorious colour. Will doesn't have a tissue in his headphones this week, so we're all good to kick off because West Ham, they have had two games in the Premier League season. Not the greatest of starts, but traditionally, West Ham don't start too well in August. It's better than last year. We've already got a point on the board. There's lots to unpack. We're going to be talking Brighton, of course, looking towards Watford, who they play this weekend. Also, delighted to say we've got Danny Gabardon coming on the phone later. West Ham legend. Great to talk to him. But I'm just delighted, firstly, as soon as Hernandez scored this week, I thought of you, Will, because I know he's your favourite player, and I thought, yes, let's talk about the great man that is, because it was a beautiful taking goal. No VAR needed, in fact, but we have to start with a Brighton game, 1-1. What are your thoughts first,
well,
Will?
You keep talking about bad starts and good starts and all that. I'm getting a bit fed up of the start to these radio shows every week, being you sliming your way up to James Jones. It's very much a divide and conquer tactic. You always support him in the quiz, and it's starting to wind me up, quite frankly. But you do look lovely,
mission
James.
Mission accomplished.
You do look lovely with a tan.
Oh, thanks, guys. No, I mean, I do appreciate it. I do appreciate it. You know, someone's got to love me.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, I'd have thought you were the sort of bloke who wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't take on board that sort of, it's just grim brown nosing from Charlie, really.
Nah, I don't mind it.
Take anything you get.
I'll take what I can get, you know. I mean, I don't normally get a tan, so it's not really a tan, is it?
No, I mean, your nose has gone red.
Yeah, I've got a pink nose and I've got a flaky forehead. So, I mean, but I'll take what I can get. Yeah, so I appreciate it, Charlie. It's a nice one,
you're
mate.
More than welcome. Well, we are talking West Ham here, and it was 1-1 this weekend at the American Express Community Stadium, as it's now known. A difficult game for West Ham. Just one where they had their chances, maybe not enough, but they have come away with a point. You know, put aside Brighton, they're looking like a good side under Potter. It was almost, they were relegation favourites to kick off the year, weren't they? No one was expecting that result away to Watford last week. You do, in fact, play Watford next week, but you have come away with a point. What are you making of West Ham so far, and especially in this game, Will?
Well, I think when I was speaking about it the other day, I think if you put the two fixtures we've had so far, Man City at home and Brighton away, if you put those anywhere else in the calendar for the season, then, and you said at the end of the season or at the beginning, we draw away at Brighton, our bogey team, and lose at home to Man City. Well, yeah, obviously losing at home to Man City, you assume that that's going to happen anyway. And Brighton, given our record against them in the past four or five games since they've been back in the Premier League, you'd also go, oh, a point away, well, that's not tragic as well. Obviously, when you put them at the beginning of the season and you've only got 2 points after the two games, you're then chomping at the bit, and then that's when sort of, you know, you get a little bit nervous about that first win. And with an away game at Watford, obviously away games aren't easy, but these are the sort of games that we need to be picking up points from if we want to be challenging for Europe. And we thrashed them at the end of last season at Vicarage Road. So it's one of them. We just want to get the first win out the way now. And not ideal we didn't do it at Brighton, but also kind of expected.
I think we said a couple of weeks ago, you know, we looked at the first six fixtures, didn't we? Mm. And we said, you know, okay, you know, we're not going to beat City, and we didn't. And then we looked at the Brighton game and said, you know, a point there would be quite a good point. And we've got a point there. So we're kind of almost on track in terms of what we predicted. They are still our bogey team. And I mean, I said last week I didn't expect us to go there and win. I know I did predict a win, but I think we should be quite happy with it, especially given the performance. I didn't see any of it because I was, as you know, I was away. But from the people I've spoken to, from the reaction I've seen on Twitter and everything else, you know, it looks as if we didn't play well enough to probably take the 3 points. But to get a point away from home against Brighton, who already look like they might be a little bit of a force this year, a decent, solid mid-table side. So, you know, you take it. I'm quite happy with it.
Well, James, you mentioned there then that you were pleased with a point. You would have took a point before the game. When does, you know, fans are fickle, football fans are fickle, when does it change from, that was a good point, we would have took it before the game, but when does it change to that, we need that win now? It becomes sort of a monkey on the back. I know it's early days, it's two games in, but are we now like, we have to get that against Watford this week. We have to get it off our back.
I think so. I think a lot of fans are expecting us to win at Watford this weekend because of the start the Watford have had. You know, they've lost their first two and they haven't looked
great. They're going to be up for it, though.
Yeah, they are going to be up for it. And they're going to want revenge after we thrashed them at the end of last season. They're going to want a little bit of revenge for us. And I think, you know, we should be looking at this fixture and going, OK, this should be where our first win comes. We did look at that at the beginning of the season when we were predicting the first six fixtures and said, right, that Watford one, that could be the first win if it doesn't come at Brighton. But we have to remember that, you know, last year we lost our first four games and we ended up finishing 10th, which I thought was, you know, it ended up being quite a good season, really. So you can't really read much into these early fixtures. You know, the first four of those fixtures last year, I think we lost to Bournemouth, Liverpool, I don't know, I can't remember who else we lost in those first four games. But, you know, we should have really had at least 6 points after those four games, and we didn't. And we still had a fairly solid season. So, you know, I think fans are quite right to be looking at this one this weekend to be going, right, 3 points now. But if it don't, you know, I think, was it Villa, or was it Norwich at home the following week? But then they look good as well now. So, if we want to finish in the top 10 and can keep progressing, then these are the games we should be going and going, right, 3 points.
I think, Charlie, just to interrupt, I was looking at the fixtures earlier on, just generally the fixtures of the whole league. And like you say, with Norwich, they clearly look like a bit of a surprise package now. Burnley went to Arsenal at the weekend, another team who people were tipping for relegation. They really conducted themselves well, obviously had an excellent result the first game of the season, putting Southampton to the sword. You're almost, you know, and Sheffield United have come out and they got a good result at Palace at the weekend. There's not those games where there has been in seasons past.
No gimmies.
The Huddersfields, exactly, the Huddersfields, the derby of old. You know, you almost worry this season that there's not going to be that team who's just dead and buried from Christmas, who you can just go, right, there's two relegation places left. And every game, and it's such an age-old cliche, but more seasons, it's more relevant than others, that I genuinely think this year there's not really going to be any games that are just handed to you on a plate.
Yeah, I mean, after the City game, because I thought we played quite well against City, we just come up against an incredibly good City. So, I mean, they should have stuck 7 or 8 past Spurs at the weekend. How they didn't, I don't know.
30 shots.
I mean, that was more than we had, than we conceded against them.
So, 14 we conceded.
Yeah, I mean, I thought we played really well in that game. And okay, we come off 5-0 defeat, but after that, I thought, you know, if we played like that with that team, that 11. You know, we'll beat a few teams this year. And when I say beat, I mean sort of 4-5, 6-0, you know, some of the so-called lesser sides. But then, you know, you get a couple of injuries like we did with Anderson and Haller, and they haven't played at Brighton away, and then suddenly you're scraping a 1-1 draw against, you know, some people will see that game against Brighton as a sort of guaranteed 3 points. It didn't happen. So now there is that worry, okay, maybe we are going to have to scrape a few results through this season.
Well, let's talk about that then, because we know traditionally West Ham don't always start the greatest in August. They haven't won a league game in August for 3 years. They still haven't at this stage. Could change this weekend to Watford. But we, of course, want points on the board. We've got one. Let's talk about performance, because we're not too worried about points. Yes, we want them, but we're talking of performance here. Wilshere kept his place. You mentioned their record signing, Haller, was injured. There were 5 changes from the City game. How pleased were you with the lineup and the general performance of West Ham so far, Will?
I just think the injuries that James touched on there were such a huge takeaway from that game. Beforehand, that's £90 million worth of talent you've just taken out of that team. There are two most valuable players, both financially and probably, you know, on the pitch as well. And when you take those two out, that's inevitably going to blunt any team in the league, any team in the, perhaps bar City, but, you know, it would apply to Liverpool as well if you took out their two best players. If you took out Salah and Mane out their team, they're a lesser team, they're a weakened team. Do that to anyone in the league and the same rules apply, other than City. And I think when that happened before, I was, my expectations, and you know, if you listen to the show last week, we were confident of breaking that Brighton curse, weren't we? And the performance wasn't great. You know, we didn't look good. And really, if we're being realistic, most fans, who certainly the ones that are at the game or that managed to watch it or even watch the highlights, I think done us a bit of a favour, will probably admit that, you know, based on that performance, we were lucky to get a point. They've put the ball in the net twice, albeit one was offside. What a great system VAR is, by the way. Absolutely outstanding.
I did want to mention VAR because, Will, you've been very pro-VAR, and you mentioned it. You said it's gone against West Ham a few times. Obviously, the Liverpool game last season, always. It's the first one that springs to my mind with VAR. But you mentioned going against the big teams, the Man Uniteds, the Liverpools, it's cost West Ham over the years. And, you know, it could have cost you here. You could have lost that game 2-1, but VAR's stepped in, and you've got a point. Is this exactly why you wanted VAR? Because West Ham, before, that goal might have counted and you would have come away with no points.
Of course, yeah. I mean, it was another one of those situations where everyone was looking at it, and I was guilty of it as well, I'll be quite honest. As I was lucky enough to watch the game. The ball went in, I thought, oh, great, that's that then. You know, that's annoying.
Great strike.
Oh, they've scored. Yeah, exactly. Excellent finish. I was thinking about that more so, and you're exactly right. When the final decision flashed up and you saw it, it was rightfully so. The guy was offside. He's then played the ball in the middle. If he wasn't in the offside position in the first place, he wouldn't have got to the ball first. Therefore, the goal wouldn't have happened. So that is exactly what you want.
Yeah, I mean, after what happened at the City game, I know I was quite critical of the process of VAR, but I'm still for the whole system to be in place, because I do think a lot of the decisions will even out a lot of the league.
Totally agree.
We always mention the Liverpool thing last season, and you know, City got a dodgy penalty against us last year at the Etihad, and they won 1-0. Suddenly, you know, that, you know, there's a few more points. We finished eighth, we finished seventh, you know, and it would have happened to a load of other clubs. You know, all areas of the league. So it will even some of those decisions out and even the league up, and maybe close that gap between, you know, the top six and the rest of the division.
You said you didn't really deserve much from the game, Will, but you did come away with a point. You did take the lead. Hernandez scored a goal that, like I said, VAR was not needed. I mean, I know you've got your problems with Hernandez, what he offers, his contribution, but that was perfectly timed. He was a yard onside. Great finish. You did go 1-0 up. I want to talk about that goal and Hernandez. But more importantly, in a game where maybe you was under it, you have taken the lead. How annoying was it to concede only 4 minutes later?
Just quickly, though, he did do his best to miss it, didn't he? He just scuffed it into the
There's
floor.
There's just no respect.
Scuffed it into the floor, and then it bounced up. It hit Matt Ryan, nearly makes the save in the Brighton goal. And
you just can't say one positive thing about the man, can you? What has he done personally?
I will say one positive. I liked his celebration where he puffed his cheeks out and pointed at his face. Everyone thought it was because he'd been given a bit of stick over the summer for being called fat, but
no,
it wasn't.
He listens every week, and it was just, he thought, that's to you, Will.
Yeah,
every week you've got something
dimples
to say.
Yeah.
No, hopefully a call in later. And
I am very good at Spanish, I must admit. So,
yeah. All right. Okay. We'll look forward to
that. I think it. You know, again, that's what you want. That's what you want. It's great through ball by Lanzini. That is what you need. That's what he needs to do. And if he keeps doing that for the rest of the season, coming in and scoring once, twice, whatever, coming off the bench and scoring, happy days. I'm not one of those, you know, football fans who develops an attitude towards someone, and then that's it forever. By all means, if Hernandez turns up every week and scores and forces Haller out the team, I'll be the happiest man in East London, and I'll be the first one to go, Carl, wasn't I wrong before? Listen back to these podcasts and these radio shows.
Down, no, hold up.
Honestly, I will. Listen back to me then. God, blimey, how much did I hate him then? I very much base my opinion on how I feel about people at the time and how they're contributing. And you know what? Happy days for Hernandez. I'm really pleased for him, and I'm pleased for the club. And if he... But he needs to keep doing it. I'm by no means, you know, is he going to get one goal away at Brighton? Because his overall play and his overall style affects the way we play as well. And I do believe that, you know, although he's put the ball in the net, which is good, he, you know, the way he plays and his lack of mobility and general combative play, like you get with Haller and like we got with Arnautovic before, that does, it holds the team back as a whole. And having him in, I think, like, you know, just makes us play worse, basically, just to not dress it up too much. But no, happy days if he keeps doing that and putting the ball in the net the rest of the season. I will gladly eat my words.
But to concede that goal 4 minutes after going 1-0 up, James, killer blow, really, how annoying was it? Just to, like, let's steady the ship, we're 1-0 up now, and it's sort of like a mental switch off from West Ham there, weren't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I wasn't surprised when the you know, when the goal flashed up on my phone, I thought, oh, you know, typical West Ham, you know, failed to hold on to a lead almost immediately after. It was that lad Trossard who I spoke about last week, when I said, you know, we've got to be careful of him because he looks a bit of a handful, and he had the goal disallowed at the beginning as well, didn't he? So it's frustrating. It's not surprising that we didn't hold on to the lead, but, you know, it is what it is.
Well, we know what James and Will think in the studio, and next it's time to speak to Danny Gabaldon.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to the West Ham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio by We Are West Ham, James Jones and Will Pugh. We've been talking a little bit about the Brighton game, 1-1. Not the performance we wanted, but we got the point. We're off and running, playing Watford this weekend. I'm delighted to say now we've been joined by Danny Gabaldon on the phone, ex-West Ham legend. Danny, thank you so much for joining us tonight and giving us a little bit of your time. Not the start West Ham maybe wanted. Was thinking that the first 3 points on the board would be against Brighton on the previous weekend. We're not too concerned about points. We know we've got Watford this week. What are you making, though, of West Ham's performance so far?
I think, obviously, Charlie, it's been a difficult-ish start to the season. Obviously, nobody wants to play Man City first game of the season. You know, we really have kind of struggled against them in recent games. They're a fantastic team. So I think you can kind of write that kind of game off. Obviously, a lot of West Ham fans will say, look, our season starts after Man City. And I think, you know, the Brighton of last season, I would have fully expected probably West Ham to go there and pick up 3 points. But with Graham Potter kind of coming in as the new manager, you don't really know what to expect. You look at Brighton and, you know, playing a three at the back kind of system now under the new manager and playing a more attractive style of football, I think you have to kind of take that into account as well. So I think to kind of get out of there with a point, as you say, kind of get up and running was good. But I still think, you know, obviously there is a lot of work to be done, a lot of things to be worked on. And Watford coming up now on the weekend is going to be another difficult game. They haven't started the season too well themselves, but very good at Vicarage Road, so another tough one.
Evening, Danny. Thanks for coming on. Just one quick one. I've noticed on your Twitter the other day, you retweeted something from David Cottrell, and it was, I can't broadcast the exact wording, but it was VAR is rubbish, was the general feeling. Yeah. Obviously, West Ham benefited at the weekend. I'm a big fan. James is, you know, has got a few more... A few more concerns, shall we say, about the system, the implementation. Obviously, West Ham benefited at the weekend. What are your, you know, just it's pretty clear from your Twitter what you thought, but what do you think, sort of, certainly based around the decision at the weekend?
I think for me, I'm not a big fan. And obviously, I think maybe from a fan point of view compared to a player point of view, it probably differ in certain ways. I mean, I played football for X amount of years, and of course you had decisions kind of go against you, decisions go for you, and you'd be happy with certain things, and you wouldn't be so happy with certain decisions, but you'd quickly kind of get over it and accept it. That's how football is, and you know, it's a game played by humans, it's refereed by humans, so you know, human error is kind of part of the game. And I don't know, I never thought that you needed to be changed to these lengths where, you know, technology has to come in and you're drawing lines across people and, you know, inches are being given on offside, people's nose and arms and things like this. I just think it's gone a bit too crazy. And of course, then when you're maybe bending laws and changing laws then to kind of accommodate VAR coming in to make those decisions easier with VAR, then I don't know, I just think it's gone a little bit too far the other way. And, you know, with fans as well, you think a goal scored, you're celebrating a goal as a player, you're celebrating a goal, and then, you know, something gets pulled back and then suddenly it's not a goal. I just think the whole kind of emotion of the game, I think you're playing with the emotions. And, you know, will we see players kind of celebrating goals anymore? I think over a period of time, as VAR gets implemented, you might see players scoring goals and maybe not even celebrating, fans not celebrating until the VAR decision is kind of given. I don't know. I don't know, maybe I'm just a bit stuck in my I'm old-fashioned, stuck in old ways, being a player and stuff. I just think the whole, you know, stop starting of the game and stuff, I think if you ask any kind of player, I'm not sure that any player would want VAR. Maybe it's different for fans, and I don't know. But
Danny, just on that, you mentioned it. That's what's quite interesting for me is, you know, there's plenty of fans queuing up, and you can go on Twitter, you can listen to any radio station, you know, that, and there'll be fans telling you what they think. It was interesting listening to Tim Cahill on Match of the Day at the weekend, was talking about how obviously he's a centre-forward, but as a player, the VAR might make him play different and that his game would be different. From a centre-half's point of view, you'll obviously know people still playing the game and in the at the yeah. highest level at the moment. As a centre-half, how's, do you think that would actually make you change the way you actually play the game every week?
Yeah, I think he's got a point, to be fair. I think, you know, the law changes for defenders over the last few years have restricted defenders already. You know, the tackle from behind, you know, the referee's got hot about the pulling the shirt in the box and things like that. I mean, if a player goes through now and you make a missed time tackle, it's a red card. So it's hard enough for defenders already. But, you know, now I think, you know, even things from like, you know, set pieces and stuff where you're trying to mark an opposition player tightly, now I'm going to be thinking twice about maybe, you know, pulling a player's shirt or trying to get too tight to them because, you know, VAR is watching and you're thinking, well, somebody might get pulled back here. So I do think you're going to have to probably change your type of game, whether it's a, you know, a defender or an attacker, because, you know, these cameras are watching every little thing. And if you do something wrong now, it is going to get kind of pulled up. You can't really get away with anything now. So I do think over time, as it is implemented more, then you probably are going to see players having to adapt their game to what's happening with the technology, yeah, for sure.
Danny, it's James here. Just moving on to the captaincy, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, Bonner was given the armband at the weekend with Noble out. You know, it doesn't seem to be a solid deputy, sort of, you know, deputy captain. Were you ever captain? Did you ever captain the side at West Ham at all?
No, I don't think I did.
Did you feel that, you know, if the main captain was out every time, that there, that, you know, that you felt as if there was always one other captain to fall back on, or did you not think it mattered? Do you think that, you know, as long as the, you know, the dressing room are all as one and that, then did it really matter at all?
I think, yeah, it definitely matters. I think one of the best captains I've actually played under in my time at West Ham was, well, obviously Scotty Parker was one of them. He was hugely kind of influential. All the players kind of looked up to him, and the way he kind of led with his performances, the way he kind of looked after the dressing room. And Lucas Neal was another one, actually. A lot of people talk about captains now in the modern day football and say maybe they're not as important, but I think from a West Ham point of view, leadership is important. I think, you know, Mark Noble, the job that he's done since he's taken over that role has been fantastic. And I think you notice that when he's not playing, I don't think there are too many other leaders that will step up and kind of do the job that he does. It is still a very important role. And that's what, you know, I can never say a bad word against him. Not just is he a fantastic player, but he really does lead by example with his performances. And you do notice that when he's not on the team, I don't really see anybody else in that West Ham team stepping up and doing the job that he does when he's not there. So, I think it is a problem. I think it's been a problem for West Ham the last few seasons, not having enough leaders in the dressing room. People who can, I don't know, show the other players the way, you know, what West Ham is all about, what is expected on a weekly basis. And I think that's why you've seen over the last, you know, three or four seasons, kind of inconsistency in performances. Some weeks where the players kind of turn up and perform well, other weeks where they don't. You know, at times I kind of feel sorry for Nobes a little bit, because I think, I don't think he probably has enough players of his thinking on his side. He probably feels like he's a little bit in the minority, a little bit with how the dressing room is now. You know, a lot of kind of foreign players coming into the dressing room, and it can be quite hard as a captain then to control that dressing room, I think, when you don't probably have enough people of your thinking, your way of thinking on your side. So he's a big part of the club still, very important. And as I said, you know, when he's not there, when he's not playing, that's when you really realise how important he is to the team.
Danny, a lot's been made of the money that West Ham have spent in this transfer window. They broke their record signing, obviously. They signed Sebastian Haller, Pablo Fornals. A lot of good players have come in. Without admitting it, maybe, or subconsciously, how hard or easy is it for West Ham fans to just temper those expectations a little bit? Because with those type of signings, they're trying to move into that Wolves-Leicester bracket and do what they've done, break the top six, break the top seven if they can. Obviously, the performances and results haven't gone that way slightly so far, even if it has only been two games. What should their expectations be now, or should they just, it's still early days and let's see?
Well, it is still early days. Trying to break into that top six is very, very difficult. You know, some really good teams up there, and you know, the amount of money that's involved in the Premier League now, every supporter wants to see their team kind of progressing and spending money and trying to improve. And with that, I think you have to be slightly realistic as well and not get too far ahead of yourselves. But certainly, I think with the squad that West Ham have, you know, they should be looking to qualify for a European place, a Europa League place, with a squad that they have, you know, should be achievable. But it is easier said than done. You know, the Premier League is very competitive. There's certain things that you have to have in your team, not just spending money and you know, buying quality players. You have to have a manager as well who can set the team up correctly, tactically. You have to get that balance right of being difficult to beat, but then also, you know, being a threat going forward. And, you know, I just feel with West Ham in a minute, you look at them going forward, you know, they have some fantastic attacking players. I think this season you're going to see a lot of entertaining games. They're going to take it to the opposition. I think you're going to see a lot of high-scoring games. But, you know, whether that gets them to a European spot at the end of the season, I don't know. Because, as I said, you know, you have to have that balance of being difficult to beat, but then also, you know, posing a threat going forward. And I think the biggest thing with West Ham is maybe that midfield area. I would have liked to have seen maybe another kind of defensive midfielder come in to supplement Declan Rice and Mark Noble. So I think, you know, it's a long, difficult season for those two to shoulder most of the work for the season. I think it's going to be difficult. Obviously, you've got Wilshere back, but, you know, will he stay fit for the whole season? I don't know. Fornals, obviously, can play. He played in that position on the weekend. But I would have liked to have seen, I think they're a little bit light in midfield, and that's the area that worries me a little bit. But certainly, I think West Ham, they'll be very entertaining this season. But whether they can get that balance right, whether Pellegrini can get the balance right between being difficult to beat, not conceding goals, and obviously getting the attacking players firing, I think that still remains to be seen.
Danny, we really appreciate you giving us some time. Hopefully we speak to you soon. Thank you for that. Danny Gabbard on there, former West Ham legend. I just want to quickly ask you then, because I saw a tweet today and before, disclaimer, absolute nonsense this tweet, but I thought I have to ask Will and James, because you know people so quick to judge the, you know, instant success, instant results, and it's, Twitter can be a dangerous place. I looked at the West Ham Twitter after the Brighton game, and someone, obviously West Ham fan, tweeted, paid all this money and Haller, even though he didn't play, looking back at the City game, if he doesn't score and he doesn't come back in the side, when are we going to consider him a bust? And I thought, he's not even played this weekend against Brighton. Like, and although that is nonsense, I'm just putting that to you there. Will's already, he's getting ready to steam in. When is it, the question I'll ask then, changing the perspective, when do things go from good feelings, when does that line blur and change? If it's six games, eight games, like right now, it is a worry, almost like the winning. When do we change and be like, we need him to score now? Because I know you two in the past have made 39th striker that Golden Sullivan have signed. We haven't had the number nine for years, or someone who's got 15 goals. When does that worry creep in? Although I don't agree with that tweet, because I thought he was very good in week one.
That's why people say those sort of things, because we've got such a poor history of buying strikers. I have absolutely no doubt whatsoever that Haller's going to be a success. Just having watched him for what I think he was on for 90 minutes against City, I thought he was
playing well.
I think he was absolutely fantastic. It was a breath of fresh air seeing the striker have such an impact, particularly in such a difficult game, as it is when you play Man City. And he was superb. It's such a disappointment that he missed out against Brighton, but. You know, he's going to score goals, and you know, and I can see why fans are a little bit like, oh, you know, if he don't score, or how long are we going to wait until he does score? If he plays, he will score goals this season. He'll get into double figures easily, I think.
But James, just quickly,
we've got to give him the service. We need to keep those, you know, flair players, the attacking players, you know, the creative players behind him fit and raring to go. And if they're on the pitch with him, we'll have no problem scoring goals this year. The problem we've got is keeping them out.
I think the argument that person said on Twitter is obviously a bit of a non-starter, but Will, for your reply, why do fans think of this straight away? Why does this even creep into someone's mind? We should be talking performance results. We already want to discuss whether, even if it is clickbait, Sebastian Haller could be a bust. I mean, we're two games in and he's played one of them.
No, I was going to say, obviously I haven't seen it. Was it a legitimate account? Because that's pathetic.
Yeah.
That is pathetic. That is absolutely
that
pathetic.
It is pathetic.
If someone said that to me, imagine if you're in the pub and one of your mates said that, you'd literally be like, go home, you're drunk. Like, you would, wouldn't you? Like, what a stupid thing to say. The man's played he played the Hertha Berlin game as well, didn't he?
Three friendlies and 90 minutes of Premier League football.
Scored in the friendly against Hertha Berlin, didn't he? Played really well and was involved in both the goals against Athletic Bilbao. Doesn't score but plays well against the best team on the planet, probably. Then misses one game for injury and he's a bust. Not a football fan, West Ham
not
fan.
Not to defend that person. I don't think they were saying about
it. Was it you?
No, come on, mate. Soft spot at heart, me. I actually really enjoyed Haller's performance in the first game. I think the point they were trying to make, and I'm not trying to defend him, is that when is that line?
If he hasn't scored if he hasn't scored at least once by the end of September, then I'll be like, hang on, I'm a little bit worried. But at the same time, you have to give a player like Haller a little bit of time to settle in. So, you know, would I have any right to be worried? Probably not. But you suppose because of our record with strikers,
it does creep in a little bit psychologically.
But I think, you know, we always talk about giving expensive foreign players, time to settle in a new country. Fornals has come out today and said, you know, he needs to get used to playing the Premier League. You know, new opponents, you know, new teammates, new speed of football. It's a completely different game than it is over in the Liga. It's a different game than it is in the Bundesliga. So we have to give these players time to settle. And if that means him not scoring until Christmas, but then he'll go and bag 10, 15 goals, in the second half of the season, then all, you know, so be it. Because, I think he's going to be a success.
I think it's because people put that price on it, don't they, when they go, I just want goals. They just want instant success. It's 45 million. We should be getting this.
And sometimes they scoring six goals a game.
Yeah, they don't look at it logically.
And not just that. Look, it's ridiculous. If we're winning games, it doesn't matter. Olivier Giroud led the line for the World Cup winning team in the summer. Just nowhere near putting the ball in the net, was he?
He didn't have a shot on target all tournament.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and you know, they're very similar sort of players. I couldn't care less. If he doesn't score for the rest of the season, but we win every game that he plays, then happy days. You know, it's so much more. With a striker, it is more about goals, but there is so much more to football than just whether you put the ball in the net, and that's why transversely it annoys me so much about Hernandez, because people just say, oh, he's a really good goal scorer. Well, there's more to it than that. He's all round game, and that's what we've bought Haller for, not just, you know, for 12 goals a season.
That's exactly right, and I think we saw in the Bilbao game where he set up two, you know, he's more than goals. He has assists in his game as well.
I think his link-up play is brilliant, yeah.
Yeah, super.
You saw that in the first game. I mean, I think, and today, the problem is football's more than just fantasy football and how many points your player's scoring. It's not just about goals. It's what they do for the team and how they contribute well. Next, talking of scoring, we are going to do the West Ham quiz. The overall score is tied at 1-1, but James is leading 4-2.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to the West Ham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I've been joined in the studio by We Are West Ham, James Jones and Will Pugh. And we now come to my favourite bit of the show, my favourite bit of the week. It can only be the West Ham quiz. The mystery players, the scores are tied at 1-1 apiece, 4-2 to James Jones as it stands. This is it, though. Week 3. Someone is going to take the lead this week.
I think we should just clear up, though. It's 1-0 in game weeks, but 4-2 on...
4-2 overall.
Goal difference. Goal difference.
As it's tied, but James is winning 4-2. I mean, I am overall winning, on to the 1-0 thing.
Well, I think we're doing game weeks in Wolves' defence. I think exactly, we're doing game weeks.
It's like normal football, isn't it? It's the overall
but it's
result.
If it's tied in the season, we're going goal difference.
Yeah. And I think we have to take a... We've got a thing at Christmas as well. Obviously, Charlie did say he'd buy the first round for us because we've treated him so well, but then it's after that the loser at Christmas buys the next one, I think.
Oh, I'm getting James the first drink. I don't know about you can have a water. Right, well, it is the tension's already started. This is the West Ham quiz. This is player one and clue one. They started their career at Gillingham. Clue number two, they made their debut for West Ham against QPR in 2012. James was nearly off the mark, but he saved it. Clue number three. they made the most amount of crosses in the league?
Matt Jarvis.
That is correct.
Ah, Jesus.
Oh, he's off. 5-2.
Morning.
Okay. He may have been away on holiday, but the knowledge is still there. Player number two. Clue number one. They finished their career at Celtic.
John Arntzen?
No, that is incorrect.
No, he's a bit premature there.
Oh, nerves. Nerves played a part there. He's folding. Clue number two. And I'm reading this genuinely. This other clue's been typed up. Absolutely loved the goal against Coventry.
That's a great clue. That.
Great clue. Great clue. Clue number three. Shirt number eight.
Oh, man.
Clue number four. Centre half.
Oh, I'm going to say Mark Reaper.
That is correct.
Oh, now we believe.
Oh, it's 1-0.
See you later.
Unbelievably, it comes down to the last player for this game week. Someone to take the lead.
I want to know how many goals Mark Reaper scored against Coventry, because that's a mad hint.
Right, Mike, how many goals did he get against Coventry?
The tension in the studio is unbelievable. I actually
feel palpable.
Sick. I feel nervous for the first time this season.
It is 5-3, but a game week is at stake here. We're player number three. Clue number one. Shares the same surname as another previous player.
Oh, man.
Two. Was bought with the Rio Ferdinand transfer money. Clue number three. Played for Liverpool. Clue number four. I'm expecting you both like answers on the buzzers. Because it's coming, I believe, in this clue.
Go on.
They managed the Cameroon national team.
Is it Rigobert Song?
It is. 2-1. And James Jones, 6-3 overall, 2-1 in game week.
Do you know what? I was thinking, after the two surnames and then Simon and Rio Ferdinand money, I was like, was it Song? Was it Song? Because they were related, I think, Rigobert and...
As
soon as
that.
You said managers, it was easy.
Awful.
Easy. Reese, it was easy. More like that, please, mate.
Yeah, thanks again. Yeah. Reese Bayliss, quizmaster every week. Absolute hero. Friend of We Are West Ham, for sure. But, sorry, I mean, at least give me credit for Mark Reaper.
Oh, no, I will.
I should get 2 points for that.
I will. We'll
can't change the rules to suit you, man.
it'll be like, you know, at the end of the season. Goal of the season. It's goal of the season or assist of the season or something like that. Yeah. No, that's what we'll give you.
Well, traditionally, like West Ham, James, you might have started slow. You went 1-0 down, but you are 2-1 up, 6-3 overall. So you could have an off week next week and it could only go back to 6-6. Will, how are you feeling? 2-1 Dan.
No,
6-3 Dan.
I must admit, yeah, there were some good clues that week. I like that. And yeah, fair play from James. That was impressive stuff. But yeah, I am happy with the Mark Reaper shout because, you know, it just proves I've still got it. Him and Mark Keller, I'm quite happy to get the rogue ones. If you get the run-of-the-mill ones all season, James, that's fine. But I'm not that sort of player.
Just not nice, is it? It's just not a pleasant bone in the body.
James is very much adopting a Tony Pulis approach to the quiz, I feel. You know, it's very much... It's
Tony
not,
Pulis
it's not,
wish he scored that many goals. He wishes he
divis,
got
divis get results.
Exactly. Yeah. It's doing nothing for the fans. You know, a lot of the fans listening in are going, oh, Will, Mark Reaper, what a great shout. And James doing the run-of-the-mill stuff,
they're sitting there with a cup of tea in front of the box going, how the hell did he get Rigobert Song? I'm here to please.
That's good stuff. Thanks, Reece. I appreciate it.
Well, James, you got the win this week. Hopefully, West Ham are getting the win this weekend because we are going to talk about a Watford preview talking to Jacob Coleshaw next.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to the West Ham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio by We Are West Ham, James Jones and Will Pugh. And I've got to say, the debate is still rumbling on. Game week 6-3. Will's worried he's two behind. James isn't going to be here in a future. There's a few concerns in the studio, but James does have a 2-1 lead. But I'm delighted now to say that we are joined on the phone by Jacob Coleshaw from the W18 Watford podcast. West Ham obviously play Watford this weekend. Jacob, thank you for joining us. Not the greatest starts in the Premier League for Watford. Two games, no points, no goals scored. They play West Ham this weekend. What are you making of Watford's season so far?
Hi, guys. Yeah, it's not been a good start to the season. 4 goals conceded, 0 scored. It was a much improved performance, though, this week at Goodison Park. We actually offered a bit more of an attacking threat. Craig Dawson hit the bar from a corner in the first half. and then Troy Deeney should have really scored past Jordan Pickford in the second half. But it was much improved from Brighton, and that gives us a bit more optimism going into West Ham this week. But it's a massive game for Watford, it really is. If we lose three on the bounce, then serious questions have to be asked of Javi Gracia and the team as well. But hopefully we can see club record man Ismail Assar feature this coming Saturday. And potentially Danny Welbeck could start as well. So optimism's kind of increased a little bit from the Brighton game, but still at the same time, it's a big game on Saturday and we need to get all 3 points.
Jacob, is there any concern? Obviously, West Ham served up dished up a bit of a serving up to Watford at the end of last season, last game of the season, yeah, with a 4-1 victory. It was very much had the feel of one of those end of season games where both clubs didn't really have too much to worry about and was just a very nice away day for our fans indeed. Is there any sort of concern about that? Because from a West Ham perspective, it's not, especially after the start to the season Watford have had, there's not really a sense of worry or concern ahead of the game.
Yeah, I think that game towards the back end of last season, I think a little bit of context is needed for it. Obviously, of course, we had the FA Cup final coming up. I think one eye was definitely on that. But having said that, to be battered 4-1 at home wasn't good at all. West Ham thoroughly deserved the win.
You obviously beat us at London Stadium as well in December, beat us 2-0, didn't you, last season? Yeah. So, you know, it's not like you haven't got form.
Yeah. I think both sides are quite evenly matched, actually. I'd probably say, obviously, West Ham are going into it probably with a bit more confidence than us. But I think, at the same time, can you read too much into that win at the back end of last season? Probably, but at the same time, there was a lot of context to it with us having the FA Cup final a couple of weeks later. But certainly, I'd fancy West Ham this coming Saturday. We're not in good form at the moment at all. 2 losses to start the season. I definitely fancy your guys' chances.
Jacob, it is only the third game of the season, so obviously don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but is it vital that Watford or West Ham win this weekend? Can we label the game a 6-pointer?
Ooh, it's a tough one. I think it's a more important game for Watford, actually, than West Ham. I just think if we lose 3 games on the bounce, not being funny, to Brighton, Everton and West Ham, no disrespect, but we should be at least getting 4 points, I'd say, out of those 3 games. And if we come out of those 3-0, then serious questions have to be asked. I think it's a big game for Watford, a big game for Gracia as well. Last season, we won the first 4 games. And if we lose on Saturday and lose the first 3, then it's a complete roles reversal to last season. But no, then the Newcastle game after that, there's 4 big games. 4 big games in this month. We've lost 2 already. And then you look at our September as well, really difficult. We've got to play Arsenal, Wolves, Manchester City as well. And I can't see us picking up any points in September. But it's a big game for Watford on Saturday. And Newcastle after that as well are 2 big games for us.
Jacob, what's happened to Javi Gracia then? Because, you know, it was only towards the end of last season. I know, obviously, before the FA Cup final and before, you know, your form dips in the league a little bit. You know, everyone was talking about how much a great job he was doing and, you know, Watford were on the up. And am I right in saying he's your longest serving manager in the Premier League history?
Yeah.
And, you know, it all seemed to be pretty good. Okay, you lost a few games through the end of the season, but your FA Cup final, a lot of good, you know, good feeling games this season. And it started a little bit badly. I mean, has he been doing anything differently?
Yeah, it's a difficult one, actually, because last season we were really good for the large majority of it. I'd probably say about 3/4 of the season we were fantastic. We occupied 7th, 8th. For most of the season, and then in retrospect, I think the cup final didn't do us any favours. That West Ham result says it all. We were really poor towards the back end of last season, and we didn't actually have a lot of confidence going into the season. Although we brought in a couple of players, we'd actually gone on a winless run of 8, and that's now been brought up to 10. And then when you look at it like that, I think serious questions have to be asked. You don't want to jump the gun too quickly. That's why it's such a big game on Saturday, because if we win that, then everyone's feeling confident about the season ahead. If we lose that, and if it's a Brighton sort of performance, then yeah, I don't think it's looking too good for the season. I think where it's probably gone wrong is that Javi hasn't really changed up the system. We're becoming a bit too predictable. Every game we start with the 4-4-2. He doesn't like to change the formation. He doesn't really like to change personnel either. It takes a while in the game for him to make substitutes. So I think if we go into this Saturday with a different formation, maybe mix up a little bit. It's just becoming a bit too predictable. And if the likes of Danny Welbeck, if new man Ismail Assar can play as well, then I think we've got a chance. But certainly we've got to move on from our formation last season. It's become far too predictable.
Jacob, one other thing that will interest a lot of our listeners is the fate and the form of Dominguez Quinoa, or Quino. I'm still yet to nail down the pronunciation. But he obviously threatened to sort of do a bit for you at the beginning of his career. I saw him, he was obviously on the bench for the Everton game at the weekend. Is there promising signs from his time with you that he might do a little bit more than he managed to do with us? Or is it kind of one of those players who you think he might just fade into the ether as one of those who showed a lot of promise but then didn't really deliver?
Yeah, no, Domingos is someone who's rated really highly at Watford, actually. He featured a couple of times before he got injured last season. In his first game, he's got an absolute screamer at Reading away in the Carabao Cup. And then he scored his first Premier League goal against Cardiff at home. He's a player who just looked really comfortable on the ball, technically very good. And we managed to beat off competition from Real Madrid and Barcelona. So I think that's a lot about him. But I think we could even see him feature on Saturday. I think he'll be on the bench, but a lot of Watford fans have been saying, start Keane in a midfield three of Decore, Kapu and Keane. He's rated that highly by Watford fans, and he's definitely one to watch. I think he could easily be a 30, if not £40 million player in the future if he plays regularly, but he's been plagued by injuries in the last season anyway. So if he can get some more game time, I'm sure we'll see the best of him, but certainly he's definitely one to watch.
Jacob, we mentioned then that West Ham were very busy this transfer window. They broke their transfer record signing. Over at Watford, it was quite a quiet window. You did sign Danny Welbeck. Was that concerning for fans that they didn't really add to the window to push on from that cup run last year?
Yeah, I mean, we brought in Danny Welbeck. We also brought in Craig Dawson from West Brom. I think a lot of Watford fans were quite negative about Dawson's arrival because he was from a Championship club. We were maybe potentially looking for a high-calibre central defender. But I think Craig Dawson's done okay since he's come in. I think we obviously smashed our transfer record for Ismail Assar from Rennes for £35 million. And he's the player we want to be seeing. He hasn't featured as of yet against Brighton and Everton. But hopefully this coming Saturday we'll see him. I think he'll be on the bench. But I think actually the optimism was pretty high going into the season. We obviously signed Welbeck, Craig Dawson and Assar as well, doubling our transfer record. So everything was feeling good going into the season, but it just seems like we kind of continued our form from the back end from the last campaign. So I'd actually say our transfer business was pretty good overall. It just hasn't seemed to click yet. But as you said, it's only two games into the season. You can't overreact too much just yet. But no, I was quite happy with our transfer business, actually.
Jacob, you know, you mentioned earlier you haven't scored a goal yet this season. But I think we can all agree that, you know, if Troy Deeney plays, then you're going to score against us because he loves a goal against West Ham, doesn't he?
Yeah, I remember that goal at the London Stadium. I think it was the 2016-17 season where he, was it chipped Adrian? It was a great finish. Yeah. But yeah, he loves a goal against West Ham. Hopefully he can get back to his former self. He was isolated against Everton, actually. He should have really scored, as I said earlier. Missed a big opportunity at 1-0 down. And against Brighton, he was really poor as well. So I think if we play how we did against those two sides, then I think it'll be quite easy for the West Ham defence. If we just need to change up our style, we've been going too direct, long ball. It's not been working. Adini hasn't been winning the flick-ons. But as you said, if he gets into his groove, we get a bit of momentum, then I'm sure he'll do OK on Saturday.
Well, Jacob, Watford are yet to score a goal, yet to get a point. But will they get a point this weekend? Will that change? What is your score prediction?
My head's saying West Ham win. My heart's saying we'll get a draw. I think we will get a draw. I think it'll be 1-1.
Thank you, Jacob. We really appreciate you coming on there. Jacob Coleshaw from the WD18 podcast. It is now time for Will and James to give their predictions ahead of this weekend's game. Will, we'll start with you. Will West Ham get the 3 points?
One thing I will just quickly applaud you on, Charlie, was that you guessed 1-1 for West Ham Brighton last week. When I listened
back, I got
back
a compliment off Will.
No, when I listened back,
God, you're all right.
When I listened back to the show, I was very shocked to hear Charlie get one right. But no, fair play. So just a little bit of applause for you for that, mate.
Yeah, if you could predict just a win now, that'd be great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's
You'll
what I wanted to get
in
two
predictions.
Yeah. If you just say we're going to win 4-0, that'd be great. But no, I think this week, again, you've got to take form into it. If Haller and Anderson are back in, then I'll back us. I'll back us against anyone if them two are in the team this season, to be honest. So I'm going to be a little bit more conservative. I think we'll ship goals and say 2-1 to West Ham.
2-1 to West Ham. James, what is your prediction and thoughts of the game?
I think we'll concede. I don't think we'll get many clean sheets this season, given the way our defence is. But now, as Will quite rightly said, with Haller, if Haller plays, even with Chicharito, who scored a goal last week, you know, we can't forget him. Got a Yeti to come on as well. I'm going to say 3-1 West Ham. We'll concede, probably to a Troy Deeney penalty or something. But you know, we will score goals. 3-1.
Very convincing. I'm going to go. I've torn about this one because if this was at West Ham, for me, this is West Ham in the bag. Been very disappointed with Watford so far. They're yet to score a goal. I do think West Ham will win. I do think there'll be goals apiece. But because it's at Vicarage Road, it could be a draw. But I'm going to say West Ham. I think it'll be a late winner. I'll say 2-1 to West Ham. So hopefully I'll keep up my run.
Nice one, yeah. I'll take that every week if you always get them right, guessing like that, Charlie.
Yeah, I'm on a decent run of predictions, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm going all right. What did I say week one?
You predicted we'd do quite well.
Yeah, what, this season?
No, against City.
Yeah, did I?
You went, I reckon I'd do quite well. Don't against City first game. Yeah, it's probably best time to play them.
I probably did, but, and that's why I was very disappointed. That's why I was very disappointed. Only because I bought into you two. I've invested, you know, big team mentality. This was going to be West Ham's year.
It is, Charlie. It's time yet.
Patience. It's a long game. That's what we do on the West Ham show. Well, this has been the West Ham Fan Show and Love Sport Radio with We Are West Ham. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.